Here we go. Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, ghost cruises are the test for the cruise industry restart. London is locked down and New York State dumps its COVID travel restrictions for pre-arrival testing.
Mark mentioned cruise ships in a 320. Ned Levy from Travelers United joins us to talk about the testing the cruise ships have proposed and how it stacks up.
Yesterday, Sports Leisure Vacations, a local tour company, hosted its annual tour preview day in their parking lot. Over 200 people showed up, many wearing festive Halloween costumes. Clayton Whitehead and I have an update at 3:35.
The entertainment part of the Travel Guys shines for the next couple of weeks. Today at 3:50, we're joined by Dave Schrader from the Travel Channel. He tells us about the Halser Files, which has just premiered its second season. The show focuses on infamous haunted places.
I was reading about that. That looks like something I'm going to have to check out.
Oh,
you know, I
kind of just right up your alley.
I kind of like those haunted places. A little fun, a little conversation, making you a smarter traveler. So when traveling days return, you'll be on your way. Thanks for joining us. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Alaska, go north to Russia's own.
Lord, I was born an inland man. I come from a la-la-la-la. I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66. Let it roll.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. By golly, we made it. We did it. We're here. It's happening again. Mark, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I was just, as you were saying that, I was trying to figure out how many editions of the Travel Guys there has been. And I'm thinking we've been on the air for 9+ years. We took 1 year off. So that's 8 years at 52 a year. So we're somewhere between 400 and 500.
Well, holy cow. It's time just to start replaying those things back, and we just go do something else. It's hard to believe. Time goes by pretty quick. But, you know, here again, we're only once a week. So it could be, you imagine people do this 5 days a week or whatever,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. You know, I wanted to... I understand that Sports Leisure Vacations, that's where you are, your little company there, and you had a lot of people come to your parking lot. How'd that go? Just briefly, I know we're going to talk about it in depth a little later on.
But. Yeah, we had a good time. Clayton Whitehead will be here after the bottom of the hour, and we'll tell you about a Sacramento tour company that we had a parking lot party yesterday, and a lot of people showed up, and some of them were looking kind of different, because yesterday was, you know, Halloween. So
right.
If you happen to wander off of Folsom Boulevard over near Rancho Cordova yesterday and you saw some rather strange people wandering around in a parking lot, yeah, that was probably us.
Right, there you go. And, of course, this time of the year, that wouldn't necessarily seem too awfully unusual. We'll get to the news here. Just wanted to mention that it was very, very quiet at the Romano household on Halloween. You know, we put a don't knock sign, and then I did put a table out with little bags of candy in it, and, you know, said, take one. And out of the 20 I put out, six went. But
wow.
I think people chose to safe and sane big time, and were not out wandering the streets with their kids this year.
Well, you're lucky that I, you know, wasn't a kid and came to your door, because there wouldn't have been 14 of them left. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, okay. All righty. With that being said, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. Mark, what you got up your sleeve today?
Oh, this is kind of fun. First, let's talk about the cruise lines, and I have a fun story here for you. The cruise lines are setting sail again without passengers, or without real passengers. There are a lot of things that they have to do before they're going to get cleared to put people on their ships again. And so what they're doing is they're testing the capabilities of their crew, and also when the real passengers get on board. So they're conducting simulation cruises with volunteer passengers to prove that they can mitigate the risk of COVID-19 transmission on board the ships and complete a certification process and start operating passenger cruises again with numerous stipulations in place. So for right now, a few cruise ships are on the water, but the only people on them are ghost passengers.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, you've got to figure it out, and this may be the way.
Well, it probably is a good idea. I mean, of course, we're still kind of chasing down the reporter that has the story about Carnival Cruise Lines being in big trouble for continuing pollution violations, and I hope that we will be able to address that in the weeks to come. But I know there are a lot of folks who are looking forward to cruise ships getting back in the water, and they want to be able to travel safely. I don't think a cruise ship that's out there with 25% capacity is going to make anybody any money. So I doubt that if they can't figure out to mitigate it with reasonable numbers of people on board, then they're going to have an issue. But at least they're working on it. So maybe we'll have some good news soon. This is kind of an interesting story. Two women, the headline says, two women kicked off American Airlines flight after prank goes awry. Apparently, one lady was a blogger, and she was going to try to sneak into first class and ride in first class with a coach ticket. And she was going to blog about this and do pictures about it on board and all of this kind of stuff. Well, the only problem was the flight was full. So there was apparently an area up under, and I've seen this before, there was an area, she must not have been a very large person, but she had a friend on the flight who was in first class. So she went ahead under that friend's seat, so to speak. Well, as the plane began to taxi from the gate, the flight crew realized that there was an empty seat, but that the manifest said that the flight was full. So
right.
So they can't go. I mean, if those two numbers don't line up, very rare that they wouldn't line up. But in this case, they had to. Now, keep in mind, I didn't mention this, but there was a 90-minute delay earlier because a catering truck had bumped into the plane's cargo door.
Uh-oh.
So during that period of time, this lady got up, went up into first class, hid somehow under her friend's seat, and was there. And then the pilot basically said, you know, after they'd looked around and stuff, said, well, check the restrooms and all. We can't leave until these numbers line up. So either we'll go back to the terminal, everybody will get off, we'll get back on. And so that was when the lady.
Oh, really? Now, do you think they know who would be in that seat? Because it's assigned seating, right?
Exactly.
So they knew this person's name. You don't think they didn't announce it to Mrs. Jones, would you please report to your seat?
Well, finally, the lady came out from under the seat.
Yeah.
And apparently that's when things got even uglier, because she began able to scream that she was being disrespected, that she had paid for a coach seat and she wanted to go back and sit in it, and that she had children at home and stuff like that. Well, they took her off the plane, and while she was screaming in protest. So you'd think that that's pretty much the end of it. Nope. In the meantime, while all that's going on, another passenger and coach, unrelated to the incident in first class, begins yelling at flight attendants because of the delay. So he gets booted off the flight. Police have to come and take him off. So in addition to the original delay for the catering truck ramming into the side of the plane, which I've actually had happen to me once, a catering truck hitting the plane, and now they have to inspect everything and make sure that the plane is still operable. But anyway, 3 hours late for the blogger and the catering truck and the guy who had a conniption fit over the blogger and everything that was going on. So I just, you know, whatever the lady was hoping to accomplish, I'm going to suggest to her that it probably wasn't that good of an idea.
Yeah, probably wasn't that great of a blog when it was all said and done. What about the rule of accommodating passengers who sit on the tarmac for 3 hours?
Well, I'm guessing in this case the airline probably said, hey, you know, it really wasn't our fault.
Well, yeah, I'd say it really wasn't. interesting story.
JetBlue has weighed in on middle seats. And they are saying for holiday travel, they're going to try to keep those middle seats open. They're going to ask families and stuff who are traveling with three or more people in their party to occupy some of them so that it will increase their capacity a few ticks on the airplane. But JetBlue has said that there are situations where they might sell some of the middle seats, hypothetically, to people who are traveling together. As you know, Southwest America and United have all said that they are not selling middle seats after the 1st of November, which is today. Actually, United and American never got on board with that. England is going on a month down lockdown. Because of the coronavirus, they have had over 20,000 new cases a day the last few days. Schools, colleges, and universities remain open along with essential services, but everything else such as education, work, shopping, all of that stuff, pubs and bars are all closed. New York has dumped their travel restrictions. They've had restrictions for almost every state in the country at some point in time. If you were going to New York, they decided to kind of take the Hawaii approach. Now, if you're coming to New York, they want to test 3 days before, within 3 days of when you get there. And then they want you to quarantine for 3 days and get a test on the fourth day. Yeah, I'm guessing that that's probably not going to happen very much, but it's a nice idea. Anyone who declines to be tested must quarantine for 14 days. It exempts people from New Jersey, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania who travel to New York. And New Yorkers who leave the state and return within a day of leaving must take a test within 4 days of their return home. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Delta says they have reached a deal to postpone pilot furloughs until 2022. They've gotten enough people to take voluntary furloughs or voluntary retirement so that they feel they won't have to lay off any pilots, at least for right now. And America's luxury hotels, if we have mentioned before on this program, are really in trouble. We've already seen some of them shut down, like the Palmer House in Chicago, the Roosevelt in New York. A number of them are deep in debt and poorly financed. And so if you are making a reservation for an old luxury hotel, heck, any hotel, keep an eye on your reservation because some of the hotels are not making it. And that's your travel news for today.
All right, coming up after a short break, we're going to talk with Ned Levy from Travelers United. Going to talk about the cruise ships, so this testing thing, an effort to try to make it safe for you to cruise. That's coming up right here on The Travel Guys. Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And again, trying to do our best to make you a smarter traveler. This time when we're going... Well, we're kind of thinking about going cruising. Mark, who's our special guest today?
Our special guest is Ned Levy. He is from the Travelers United Group. You know, we talk to Charlie on the radio once in a while. We're always telling folks that if you, for a very small amount of money, you can get a lot of information that will make you a smarter traveler. You can go to travelersunited.org, or we'll have a link to the website at travelguysradio.com. Ned, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Ned. You penned a great article on the Travelers United website a little ways back. Is the cruise industry's 100% testing pledge a hoax? And basically you were addressing the fact that some of the issues that the cruise lines are trying to attend to, the Cruise Lines International Association, also known as CLIA, which is the big group for the cruise lines, have committed to testing 100% of their passengers and their crew members before boarding the ships. Because they carry most of the passengers on the oceans, they are the people that will have to fall in line. Sounds like a good idea. You have pointed out some reasons that it might not be such a good idea, including the fact that they're allowing a pretty big window before people board the ships. Can you tell us, Ned, a little bit about the different COVID tests that the cruise lines are considering using?
Absolutely. There's three main tests for COVID at this time, and there's a fourth one that's actually coming along hopefully soon. PCR test is the one that most people know about. It's the gold standard of tests, and it's by far the most accurate and has the fewest false negatives. False negatives are the bane of testing for travel because if someone gets a false negative and they get on the ship and they're actually infected, they're going to start infecting lots of other people.
With the tight quarters and a lot of people, that could become a problem, I would think, pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would think that the cruise ship would become a hot spot in a hurry. Just this past week, we learned of a river cruise ship that someone on board was infected, and there's now 13 people quickly infected, and they got the passengers off and the crew is quarantined on board. And that was just 5 days into that cruise. So the other kind of test to find out if someone is currently infected is an antigen test. The problem with the antigen test is it has a lot of false negatives, up to 50% false negatives. And so the FDA, in fact, says that no one should use this test as a one-off test. You need to do either multiple tests with this on the same person to find out if they're truly infected, or you need to back it up with PCR, the gold standard.
Yeah, it seems like who would even want to use that test?
Well, and Ned, you pointed out here that one of the cruise lines is looking at perhaps at that test as their only method of protection. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. It's Costa Cruises has been using the antigen test as their test for 100% testing of all passengers and crew, but it's just not the right kind of thing. And this is one of the reasons why I believe that CLIA, which handles 95% of the cruisers on the world's oceans, just isn't performing what they've really promised. They're promising to make us safe, but things like antigen testing instead of PCR just won't cut it.
Ned, the window for this, Hawaii is allowing a 72-hour window. You have to have your test within 72 hours of your departure time from whatever your last city is on the mainland as you're headed to the islands. What type of window are the cruise lines looking at?
Well, the cruise lines in the Healthy Sail document are saying the window could be as long as 5 days. That's just too long. We all know if you get tested and then 5 days later you show up on a cruise ship, a lot's going to happen to passengers in that time. You're going to go through airports, probably. You're going to be visiting people at home. You might even be at work for a day or two. And who knows who you're going to come in contact with. It's just way too long of a window. By the way, Hawaii is requiring that test to be a PCR test. No antigen test allowed to get out of the quarantine if you go to Hawaii.
Now, Ned, when once they have the original test, 5 days, 3 days, whatever it is, they're promising like 100% testing across the board, all of the crew, all of the people on the ship. Are they promising that they will be checking like every 2 or 3 days and testing everybody again? What's their plan?
Well, the plan is not to test everyone. They will do temperature checks. They will make sure that if a passenger strays off of an excursion away from the group, they'll test that person. But they're not going to test everybody automatically. And that further means that if someone gets on board who has it, or if on an excursion they sneak away and the people on the excursion don't know they had it, or if the excursion people aren't fully tested, and maybe you'll get it from the tour guide, you just don't know, because not everyone is being tested over and over and over again on the cruise by any kind of test, even the rapid antigen test.
Well, and I can see another situation. You get off the ship to do a shore excursion, and you go to get on a motor coach or a shuttle or something, and not all the people are people who are on the ship. Some may be local people who have signed up for the same tour and may or may not have been tested. The ship may or may not be running exclusive tours and not allowing other people to get in. But again, then you get into cleanliness procedures and stuff for the outside vendors. And we did see, if I remember correctly, Tom, a couple, 3 weeks ago, a river cruise ship left some people behind because they strayed away from the group and they had agreed not to do that. And so they put them right off the ship. Ned, this all sounds a little bit scary. The cruise lines are saying that they're going to be back in the water soon. From Travelers United, what's the recommendation here?
Well, I can't speak for Charlie and all of Travelers United, but my recommendation is to hold off for now. I don't believe that the cruise lines are prepared to safely handle us. I love cruising. I've cruised just about everywhere in the world, including even down to Antarctica, up to the Arctic, all over. And I won't step foot on a cruise ship at this time. They have to prove to me that they really know what they're doing. Their ventilation has to be better. Their testing has to be a whole lot better. And even the healthy sail recommendations, which are a wonderful start, their recommendations, there are no guarantees in there that the cruise lines are actually going to follow them. And so far, I don't like what I see.
Wow. Wow. And Tom, I point out that this is not just Ned's just not a media hack who's cutting up the cruise lines. He just told you that he's been all over the planet on cruise ships.
Right. And, you know, and you have to listen to and pay attention to those that are avid cruisers, particularly because they love to cruise. And if it's not safe for them, then it's not safe for me.
Ned, thank you very much. The idea of all of this is not to scare people off of cruise ships forever, but to get them to think about the whole process and when it might be safe. Person A is not going to have the same feelings as person B, so give you as much information as we can, and then you can make your own decision. Again, Ned is with Travelers United, one of our favorite consumer advocacy groups. If you go to travelguysradio.com, there's a link to their website. They are a membership group, but you can go to their website and look around and gather information without a charge. Ned, thank you very much for your time, the courtesy of your time today. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon for an update.
That would be great. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to your audience.
You know, still got a lot of work to do. A lot of people a little anxious to get back onto the cruise ships. Boy, Ned, he's an avid cruiser there. So
yeah, you
anyway,
can tell.
We'll just keep an eye out and bring you the information, folks, and let you know what's going on to make you a smarter traveler. Well, it was a big day out at Sports Leisure Vacations head office. They have multiple offices. No, actually, you only have the one, don't you? Anyway, they got together for a little something a little different. Their tour preview catalog day, big fun that was had by all. If you go to the Travel Guides, if you go to the Sports Leisure Vacations Facebook page, you can see photos. But we're going to talk about it with Clayton Whitehead and Mark when we come back, right after we take a little time out on KFBK. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We're halfway through. Thank you. By the way, you can follow along with all the things that we talk about, links to our special guests, always there at travelguysradio.com. And again, as I've mentioned on more than one occasion, we are blessed to be underwritten by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Sports Leisure Vacations had an annual event. Looked a little different than in years past, but then again, everything looks a little different in 2020. Let's see, we have Clayton Whitehead calling in remotely by way of the phone. And Mark in the studio. Mark, Clayton, welcome. And let's get to it. Let's talk about the big event yesterday.
Well, it Tom, you have to be creative nowadays because you can't put a bunch of people in a room and talk to them anymore. And there is nobody more creative than Sports Leisure Travelers. Wouldn't you agree that, Clayton?
Absolutely. We had the challenge of premiering our 2021 tour catalog with all of our featured vacation destinations for next year. So we decided to pray for good weather and have a parking lot costume party. That's exactly what we did, with over 200 in attendance and lots of good fun and lots of very interesting costumes to boot.
I thought, yes, Tom, we had one gentleman who came dressed as a serial killer. He had little boxes of cereal attached all over his body, and that some of them had like forks and knives sticking out of them, and
very
stuff
clever.
Like, yes, yeah. I thought so. We had Glenda the Good Witch was there, and
well, of course.
Yes, we had the Iron Chef, a lady dressed like, you know, she was ready to cook in a restaurant with the Chef Boyardee hat and everything, and she was carrying around her steam iron. She was the Iron Chef.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, we really did have a good time. What was amazing, Tom, as we take a couple minutes here and be a little bit self-promotional, is that all of these people who came to this event yesterday all paid $10 a piece to come. because traditionally, the fall event, the preview day, is an admission event, and we do that so that people don't make a reservation and no show. If they've got a little skin in the game, they tend to show up. So the money is always given to local charities, and we have two favorite local charities that we're quite fond of. And so all of the folks who came yesterday, and probably about 40 or other 50 other people who paid and didn't come, paid $10 a piece to come and stand in our parking lot and get a update a new copy of our catalog. The reason that's important is because the Mustard Seed School at Loaves and Fishes and the Wreath Project at the Sacramento Valley Military Cemetery down by Dixon, both were the beneficiaries there, and they both walked away with a check for over $1,200 a piece because people were willing to stand in a parking lot and put on a costume. So it was pretty cool.
All right. Well, you know, and I think you'll agree, these people had a chance to see others that they know that are sports leisure travelers. They get their catalog. I understand you had a little bit of enticement. You had a cash cube or whatever it is, where you get into the cube and the wind blows the money around and you grab the cash you can. And I imagine people really enjoyed that. And, you know,
yeah, the cash cube the cash cube was really quite an adventure. We had five contestants who were randomly selected during the day with ample sterilizing between them to make sure that the cube environment was safe. It was about the size of a phone booth with a huge fan in it, and it was stocked with literally hundreds of dollars. I think the least profitable winner walked away with about $200, and the most profitable walked away with about $500 cash.
Yep.
My goodness.
So, yeah, we were just having a little bit of fun there. I guess that the one thing, Tom, that, and I'm sure Clayton can weigh in on this too, I don't think there are very many businesses at this point in time who could get people to pay them $10 to come and stand in their parking lot. and I don't say that to brag. I say that as a tremendous compliment to the people who travel with Sports Leisure Vacations. Because they knew the game going in. I mean, they knew what was going to happen and stuff and where the money was going to go. But just the fact that they are willing to do something like that, not only to support us, but to support a couple of good causes in the community. And we have a very different relationship with the people we travel with than, Joe, who's the barber, or Bob, who fixes your car, or, Alice, who sells you your children's shoes. You know, I mean, we it's just a different, wouldn't you say, Clayton? I mean, is it because we're in the dream business?
I think so. Our tour catalog, we actually call our dream book, and we are in the business of making dreams come true. And there is no one that is dreaming harder than me right now that 2021 is going to see a return of travel and another wonderful opportunity to take people out and show them their glorious country and this amazing planet that we all call home.
Well, your new preview, your new catalog, here again, generally it's trips for 2021. It's next year's catalog. Is there a start day? Generally, you would start with stuff that's in the first of the year and take it all the way through 2021. But under the current circumstances, what's the start date of the tours that you have listed in your catalog going into 2021?
Well, that would actually be January. We have a few January and February departures, but they are very close to home. They're our annual snow trains to Reno. We're hoping and praying that come March, when the flowers start blooming all over the nation, that we'll be able to travel north, south, east, and west and go and enjoy the beauty of spring all around the country.
There was a small group that left this morning for Sedona, Arizona. That's the first trip group that's flown since March. And we've already heard that they're safely on their way to Sedona from Phoenix. There are a couple of pre-Christmas tours that are still on the books, things that are short and things that we think we can keep safe, and then a trip to Key West in late January, we hope. It's kind of ironic. Florida has had mainland Florida has had some problems, but the Keys, after having big problems with COVID originally, figured out there was only one way in and one way out, so that they could kind of control that if they worked at it, and they've had a lot more success. But yeah, as Clayton said, really, I think we're all hoping that by the time the flowers start blooming in the springtime, that that will be the sign of something new. One thing that I really notice is that, and this has to do not just with people who travel with Sports Leisure Vacations, but travelers, period, are staying closer to home. They're looking for things that are maybe in their backyard, maybe something that's a couple hours away. Remember, we talked about people going to hotels and checking mm-hmm. into hotels that were in their own vicinity just to have an away-from-home experience. And so a lot of our travelers are looking for things that are close to home, and we're trying to accommodate them by – we've loaded up things to the Pacific Northwest, called it the Pacific Northwest Collection. And notably, most of that stuff runs from late May until middle of July, because we're not taking any bets on the fire season. So we're going to those areas before we think that that might be a problem if it becomes one.
Cool. Well, that's some smart thinking. Now, for those that came to the event and got their catalogs, good news. What about others that either want to become members, want to get a catalog, want to take a look at purchasing travel with Sports Leisure Vacations? How does that work?
Well, all of our members, everyone who travels with us regularly, has already been mailed a copy. And I know the Postal Service has been beaten up a lot lately, but amazingly, we mailed them on Friday, and on Saturday they started hitting mailboxes, at least locally. So the catalogs are on their way to all of our members right now. Anyone else can give the office a call to pick one up. Our office is open Monday through Friday from 9 to 3. And it's also, if it's not available yet on the website, it will be just in the next day or two. There'll be a digital version downloaded.
And just so you know, since we haven't really made that clear, Sports Leisure Vacations is a company that, despite the sports in the name, mostly sports is limited to baseball and figure skating. And occasionally Clayton takes in a big horse race. And we deal mostly with mature travelers. So people who are retired or close to that age, who have perhaps a little bit more time and a wish list. And so going to some, taking folks to great places and trying, in this case, to give them a lot of choices that are closer to home so that people don't have to travel quite so far or quite the length of time.
There you go. And when you meet mature travelers, not necessarily mature emotionally, but a mature, been on the planet for a while, because that would be me. Hey, we were going to take a moment and wish somebody a happy birthday.
Yes. And we need to do that. We have a friend of the travel guys who is with us quite frequently and has for over the years. I mean, literally for the last 6-7 years, Gwen Duncan has been with us a lot. Gwen had some eye surgery a couple of weeks ago, and things didn't go extremely well for her. She's got no sight in her right eye, and so she's just kind of laying low, and they're trying to get things fixed. Today is her birthday. And so sorry that she's not doing well on her birthday, but I thought we could send out a happy birthday wish to her anyway.
All right. Yeah, happy birthday, Gwen. I look forward to having you back on the show. I know with the cruise situation, and it's got to be kind of fun for you in the travel business and the travel agency business. There's another term for that. What are they called?
Travel advisors.
Travel advisors. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
Any final words from you guys in regards to the big event yesterday before we move on?
Well, I'd just like to offer everyone who came out a great big thank you, especially those who dressed up for the occasion. It was a lot of fun, and it was just nice to see everybody. You know, sometimes in this environment we've been living in, you kind of get the feeling you're all alone. And yesterday reminded me that I was not, and very happily so.
You know, Tom, for the first number of years that Sports Leisure Vacations was in business, I used to tell people that we were a for-profit social services agency. We just hadn't made that profit yet. and so in the meantime, we were providing a social service to everybody. But we've always had kind of this special relationship with our customers and with our travelers. And it really, you could see it yesterday, but I am extremely, as a business person, I am extremely grateful for it. And also, to take just a minute here and thank, all of the staff at Sports Leisure Vacations. There are 17 of us. Many of them were out yesterday, interacting with people, and they have really done a terrific job too, and hung in there. Not everybody is working the number of hours that they would like to. And so, if you're a business person right now and you have a great staff and great customers, you have some things that not everybody has. So that's really a blessing and really something that we're grateful for.
All right. Here on the Travel Guys, going to shift gears and turn into the Travel and Entertainment Guys, as we're joined with Dave Schrader from the Travel Channel. We're going to talk about the new season of the Halsier Files. Kind of fun, kind of spooky. That's next, right here on the Travel Guys.
I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm
hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we're lucky enough once again to hook up with someone at on the Travel Channel, a really exciting and fascinating and riveting new series. It's the Halsier Files, getting ready for season two. It premiered this past Thursday. They have 13 brand new episodes. Our special guest today, Dave Schrader. He's the host of the long-running paranormal podcast, Darkness Radio, and the lead investigator of the hit Travel Channel series, The Halsier Files. Now, if you haven't had a chance to see any of it or know anything about it, Hans Halsier is often referred to as the father of the paranormal and America's first ghost hunter. And with that, I'll bring Dave on to the program. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about Hans Halsier. And exactly the development of this particular series for those that did not see anything of season one.
Well, Hans Halsier is one of the most prolific paranormal investigators here in the United States. He certainly made it more mainstream, bringing it out into the light, talking about it, wrote over 140 books on witchcraft, UFOs, psychic phenomena, and ghosts, which is what we focus on the Halsier Files on Travel Channel. We re-examine these case files with a 21st century perspective, equipment, and a chance to go deeper into the history than was available to Dr. Halsier 60, 50, 40 years ago when he investigated these cases. He knew no case was ever truly closed. So we get to go back in and reinvestigate and see if we can make sense of the stories he encountered, and is there still something there?
Dave, you have a great crew. You have folks working with you here that have very interesting backgrounds and add an extra spin to the investigation role. Tell me about your cast.
Well, Cindy Kaza is the medium that we work with, and that's following in the way that Hans Halsier investigated. He would take trance mediums to locations without telling them where they were going, to let them get influenced by the ghosts and the location itself to give him the information that he sought. And then he would try to help the homeowners or the spirits by dealing with whatever was bothering them. And that's what we do with Cindy Kaza. She will come in and she's an amazing psychic medium who connects us and sometimes is the key to the entire story unlocking for us and finding those elements that may have been missed in the past. Shane Pittman is our equipment tech who brings in new experiments and new equipment for us to try to test some of the paranormal theories and see if there's ways to make communication or prove that we're not alone in some of these spots.
One of the things that I think is fascinating and great to watch is you have some audio footage, if you will, and I don't know, might even have some video as well, of some of Hans Halsier's original findings and so forth that you weave into the episodes along the way. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, it is. It's really an amazing opportunity to blend the past with the future. And, you know, you get to hear some of his original eerie recordings and see some of the photographs or video evidence he had when he investigated this case, whether it was 40, 50, 60 years ago. And then you get to kind of compare it. And we have a couple of moments that our evidence lines up great with his evidence, and it's really weird to know that this spirit is still there and trying to be heard.
Now, I did get a chance to see the first episode, The Phantom Hand, which really creeped me out. And in it, you, Dave, you connected with a gentleman who in that Cleveland home was a young boy. And in that episode, you were able to share with him your findings and kind of have some sort of conclusion, if you will, some closure as to what he went through when he was a kid and what his folks were saying. Is this something and a style that is weaved throughout occasionally of the 13 episodes? Because here again, a lot of Hans's original, you know, exploits in looking into the ghost hunting were people that no longer are around.
Right. And here we are getting a chance to investigate these cases with some of the surviving family members. And in this case, Tony Todd, the young man who grew up in this haunted house, he got to hear his father and mother's voices for the first time in 30 or 40 years. And it's really compelling to see their reaction. And it triggers memories sometimes of things that they experienced there that come to mind. So it's really a helpful tool when we go in to investigate. And when we have those kind of pieces, sometimes we don't even play them on air because we know how emotional people are going to get about it. So we play it for them just so they can hear it for themselves.
Dave, are you a hardcore believer in ghosts and paranormal experiences and such? And has that been a part of your life for a long time?
I grew up kind of steeped in the paranormal. I was very young. I don't remember, but my grandmother's ghost would come to visit me, and I would tell my mom and aunt about it. And I would tell them things I shouldn't know. I was only 2.5, 3 years old at that point. And then I grew up in a house in Illinois and just have always been interested in it. And it always seemed to be interested in me.
By the way, if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Dave Schrader. He is the lead investigator of the hit Travel Channel series, The Halser Files. Season 2 has premiered this past Thursday. Now 12 episodes left to enjoy. Dave, over the years of doing this, people have probably come up to you and made comments about what it is they enjoy about the series. What kind of things have you been hearing?
People love the fact that we tackle this in a way that we don't always jump to the conclusion it's a demonic creature or a dark evil force. We may feel that at points, but then it's trying to peel back those layers of the onion to get to the core of what's really taking place there. I think they like watching the camaraderie between my teammates and I, watching the way we de-evolve these stories, kind of like a supernatural crime thriller, if you will, as you saw in that first episode. We're really kind of examining it like a CSI crime. It's humbling to say this, but I also feel kind of arrogant in my approach in this, that when you tune in this season, you are going to see some of the best paranormal evidence ever captured on a paranormal show, period. I believe that. It's blown me away. The season has really amped up. And I don't know if that's because COVID hit and a lot of these places are being starved of that living element that the spirit world feeds off of. And when we come back in, they want to be heard, because that is really what ghosts are. History demanding to be remembered and these spirits getting a voice again. So I hope people will tune in and enjoy the educational, but the spooks, the scares, and all the great things that come along with it.
Our guest has been Dave Schrader. The program is The Halser Files every Thursday, 10 p.m. on the Travel Channel. Dave, thanks for joining us. Be safe.
You too. Stay safe out there.
Well, I did see the first episode.
Uh-huh.
And it really creeped me out big time.
Really? When I go home tonight, I'm going to watch the first two.
Okay. They use a lot of theater to go with it, to kind of bridge what they're talking about.
Oh, of course. But,
oh yeah, man. I mean, you hear. Well, I won't tell you because you're gonna be.
Yeah.
There.
Well, you know, I have a little bit of an interest. I didn't before, but now that I've kind of been out there and kind of been ghosted a couple of times myself, I'm starting to think there might be something to this.
You'll really love the gal that the psychic person that can speak with the ghosts and all. She does what's called automatic writing. Where she just puts her pen on the paper and she writes what the ghosts are telling her.
Ooh.
Okay, enough of that. Next week on the Travel Guys, usually this is the time of the year we interview Al Petrelli from Trans-Siberian Orchestra about their big live show at the Golden One. This year they have a live stream show, and I mean truly live, not taped, and a special interview with Al next week in the entertainment section of the Travel Guys.
In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching. Thanks to all the Sports Leisure travelers who came out yesterday. Have a great week. We'll see you next week at 3 o'clock.
All right, my friends. Stay well. See you next time.
Traveler is always leaving town. He never